The following message is an Antioch Bible Church presentation.
John chapter 14, please. Chapters 13 through 18 happened how long? What's that? One night. Chapters 1 through 12, Reggie, was 3 years. He's trying to get ahead of me. Second chapter that we're dealing with that evening that Jesus spent with the disciples. Wow. Have you ever quoted verses, heard verses, and you may not know exactly where they came from? Or you're going through like we do verse by verse, and you come up on the verse that you've heard in that chapter, and it takes on a whole different meaning because of the context that it's in, and you've heard it, you know, over and over and over again. Chapter 14 has a lot of verses like that. And we're going to look at the difference in these verses. I love verse by verse. I love expository preaching. I just eat it up. It fuels me to go verse by verse. And I hear pastors say, I just can't do verse by verse. I like topics. I just don't get much out of verse by verse. It's so boring to go verse by verse. No, pastor. You are boring. And you got to understand, there's nothing boring about the word of God. It's just flat out good. Can I have an amen? So let's pray. Then I can turn my hat backwards and we can go into the wind. Would that be good? Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Lord, it is a time for your word. It's a time for you. Move your servant out the way that you may have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. For those of us who need comfort, Lord, I pray your word would comfort us. For those of us who need conviction, I pray your word will convict us. There is nothing greater than you. Nothing greater and more soothing and more convicting than your word. May we never be the same today because we're going to open it. We praise you now in your son's most holy, precious, glorious name. We all say. Let's look at some of those verses, shall we? That we've seen over and over and over again and have taken for granted what they mean. And hopefully, by the time we finish with this, because next week we have the Seder service for Palm Sunday, and come to see how the Jewish celebration of the Seder service is all about Jesus. And they don't even know. As a matter of fact, most of us don't even know. Amen? So come, I think you're going to love it. And then we're back into John chapter 14 on Easter. We very seldom break where we are in a book to go for special holidays. But God always makes it fit. Amen? So on Easter Sunday, guess what verse we're going to be on? Verse 6 of chapter 14. It's going to be perfect. Look at verse 1, chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. You ever heard that verse before? Let not your heart be troubled. Look at verse 21 of chapter 13. When Jesus had said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you. Now, last week we dealt with, how can Jesus be troubled, but he's telling us not to be troubled? And it seems like such a contradiction if you don't know how the Bible works. If you don't know how Jesus works. And so we explain that. And if you missed it, just get on the website and download that. You need to know the difference between Jesus being troubled and you and I being troubled. We're troubled because of us. We're worried about us. Christ was troubled because of others and what's going to happen to them. So you can imagine verse 1, the meaning of verse 1 has to be something else for you to understand for Jesus to say it, because he just said, one of you are going to betray me. A question. Do you think the disciples, after hearing Jesus say, one of you going to betray me, is troubled? Interesting verse. We'll get into that in a few moments. How about verse 6? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. Ever heard that verse before? Well, that's an amazing verse. But putting it in context, it's even more awesome. Because when Jesus said this, he messed up all other religions. Messed them up. You hear people go, well, there's lots of roads to Jesus. No, I don't say Jesus. There are a lot of roads to God. Sounds good, it's just wrong. We're going to get into that with verse 6. We're going to lay it out why all those statements and all those other religions is false. Bad. Either all other religions are right or Jesus is wrong. But they're both not right. And they're both not wrong. You heard that verse before? Pretty interesting that it falls inside of a chapter of the night that Jesus is speaking to the disciples, make sure they remember what he wants them to remember that last evening. How many of you ever heard this one? Verse 13 and 14. And whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ever heard that verse? Is it true? No. I know it's biblically true. Is it true to you? I know what you mean. Even the babies cry out when the truth gets so good. Is he only talking to the disciples? Is he talking to all believers? All believers? Are you sure? Some say, well, they're just talking to the disciples. That's because you don't know and have never experienced it being true in your life. So sometimes we got to make an excuse for something not being true in our Christian lives. Elder Ty, you ever thought about this? You ever have people question you on this one? You know, oh, that's not what he meant. Elder Chuck, you think that people may have a little problem with this verse? When we get to, if we ever get to these verses, we're going to take y'all over to 1 John chapter 5. You think this is bad? When you read 1 John chapter 5, you can't make excuses because that is to all of us. Have you ever, you say you've heard it before. Has it ever bothered you that it is an experience in your own personal life? Bothers me, because I'm like Paul. I asked God a whole bunch of times to move this cancer. Can I get an amen? Lord, can you please move this cancer? Nope. But I can move you. And as a matter of fact, I can remove you. Somebody say amen to the pastor right there, boy. Because I could be full of sin if I got this sickness. And y'all listen to a whole bad sinner every Sunday. Isn't that something? Have you ever thought about that? Don't answer that. I'm very sensitive. See, you said you heard that before. Wow. We're going to get into that. Are you glad you came today? Some of you saying, man, this is a sermon I wish I could miss. How about verse 16? Have you ever heard this? And I will pray that the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. You ever heard that verse? Have you ever figured out who the other comforter is? Oh, really? Have you also figured out what you're supposed to do with the other comforter? See, if you don't understand the other comforter and the relationship you're supposed to have with the other comforter, because the other comforter says you're supposed to have the same relationship with the other comforter that they had with the first comforter. Because you can't have another comforter if there wasn't another comforter. It's kind of like the theological saying, you can't have another nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie if you hadn't had the first nut butter peanut butter sandwich cookie. Someone say amen to that theology. Heavy duty theology right there. Boom. Because if you don't understand the relationship you're supposed to have with this other comforter, your Christian life is more of a burden than a blessing. I promise you that. I promise you that. And if you don't understand the consecutive rotation of the Trinity through history and the future, you can't understand the other comforter. You don't know what I'm talking about, do you? That just went right over your head. Go ahead and say, I don't understand, Pastor. Let me see if I can lay it on. Do you understand in the Old Testament, God was the apex. God the Father, he was the leader. For 33 years, it transferred over to Jesus was at the apex of the Trinity. He was the leader. And since Jesus left, it's been turned over to the Holy Spirit. Now he's the leader. And do you understand your transition of leadership? And then we go back to the tribulation. It's going to go back to God the Father. Then we're going to go in the millennium. It's going to go back to Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. And if you don't understand the age, the dispensations. Oh, that's a big old college word I looked up just so I could impress you. Don't know what it means. But it's the times. And you've got to understand how it works when we walk through the times. Right now, we're in the leadership of one of the Trinity that is going to do something for you. We'll talk about that. Are you happy? Glad to be here. Man, I don't know, man. You know, just I look at that and it's going, wow, another comforter. You guys know what comforters are, right? On the couch. Are you sitting on the comforter? Oh, that's an Afghan. All right, we can understand. Verse 21, he that has my commandments and keep them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved. I thought God's love was kind of unconditional. We got a question? Someone want to read that question for me? Why does healing not take effect when it's asked by a believer and it seems like God would be glorified? If he doesn't answer it, he is glorified. If he does answer, you're glorified.
Watch out now.
Are you sure you want to ask these questions? Okay, did you get it? If he doesn't answer, it's because he's glorified. If he does answer it, majority of the time it's about you. Even though you say the word, God, this is for you. God isn't concerned about your words. He reads your heart. And sometimes it's just best for you and for him not to answer it. Because he's going to do what it's going to take to make it like Jesus. Can you imagine if Jesus' prayers was answered when he said, take this cup away from me? Oh, we've been burning. We wouldn't have to be born before we start burning. Can we hear what I'm saying? We wouldn't even be here. Hopefully that helps. That's just the flat out truth of it. He that has my commandments, I thought Jesus' love was unconditional. Kind of sounds conditional, doesn't it? If you, then I. Now, we try to play that game with God. We always try to come from our side. God, if you, then. God said, mm-mm, don't work like that. That's why they call me God. You, Cindy. You, George. You, Bartholomew. Can I have an amen, somebody? Yeah. God is awesome. Whoa. If you keep my commandments, it's only because you love me, but if you don't, you're not going to be loved by the Father. Whoa, man. Whew. Now, that's some fine lines right there we got to clear up, right? Because there's things that God loves us on that has no ifs or buts on it. But do you know how many does? The whole thing in the Old Testament, none of these diseases. Remember that? You have none of these diseases if you're obedient to me. If you have no false idols. If. That seems conditional to me. And the things that are conditional, we want to put conditions. The things that are unconditional, we want to put conditions on. And the things that's unconditional, we don't understand that. God says, this is it. And then we go, I want that to be unconditional. God didn't give us the choice. What's conditional, what's not unconditional. He gives us the faith to believe it. Ah, is that going to be good? This is all in chapter 14. Did you know that? Look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Oh, whoa. He's putting another stipulation on there. You ever heard that verse? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, do I give unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ever heard that verse before, Cedric?
Yes.
Isn't that something? And now he says that peace is a particular type of peace. Check this out. It's not your peace. It's his peace. Now, what is his peace like? What is God's peace like? I know it's got another 8 characteristics that comes along with it. We're going to talk about that when we get there. Because if you don't have all 8 characteristics along with peace, you don't have God's peace. You ever heard someone say, well, you know, I just don't get along with them, but I got peace about it. I know I have a hard time loving them, but I'm at rest. I got peace about it. I tried. That's a big one. I got peace about it. I tried. You realize that's not God's peace you have? You guys are not looking very happy. What's wrong? I'm just talking about the scriptures. Okay, that was an overview. And verse 30 down there, we go, hereafter I will not talk much anymore. Let's go. And a lot of people think that the discourse on the upper room stopped right there. It didn't. It continued on to the end of 18. Christians, it's something to make you go, What verse are we on? 1. Okay, very good. You guys didn't get lost. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I don't know about you, man, but if the one who's given me all the strength I need has been perfect for 3 years in my life, has supplied my needs and my wants and my comfort, all of a sudden says, one of you are going to betray me. Do you think the disciples' hearts are a little troubled? Do you think in a small way they're looking around at each other? I bet it's John. I bet three quarters of them says, it's got to be Peter. Can I get an amen? He did say, get behind me, Satan. You know what I'm saying? Remember that? Ooh, it's Peter. Let's not talk to him the rest of the dinner. And then he says this to him, I got to go. And you don't know where I'm going. And he said that in chapter 13. You can't come and you don't know where I'm going. But do you think the disciples are a little concerned? Do you think they're a little trouble? Let me ask you a question. You sitting in church today, but you think about something else. Something else that got you trouble. This is the 15th this weekend. You're concerned about, did you get enough to pay your bills? Are you in trouble? Talk to me. Are you in trouble? I think the disciples are troubled, Jack. Now, if they're trouble, Jesus knows they're trouble. Thus, he says this. He doesn't waste words. He sends because he knows they're trouble. There's some things going through. There's some difficulties. There's some things they don't understand. There's some hurts. All of us have those, correct? Yes. All of us have things in our lives we don't want, correct? Yes. There's a lot of things that we wish we can get rid of, correct? Yes. Now, what did Jesus do when he said, don't be troubled? Check this out. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that it wouldn't be so. But I go to prepare a place for you. Whoa. Here it is, the disciples hearing and checking and thinking about what's going on. And someone's going to betray him. And man, he's getting ready to leave. And we don't know where he's going. And what does Jesus do to deal with their trouble? Gives them his word. He don't give them a miracle. He don't get them out of the upper room. He don't tell them he's not going anywhere. He doesn't tell them he's not going to die. He doesn't tell them anything that they want to hear. He just gives them his word. Can I ask you a question? Is God's word enough for you not to be troubled? You see, some Christians can't be they can't get out of trouble unless there's a savings account. Now, did I say not to have a savings account? I did not. I want one much bigger than yours. I don't care how big it is. I want it double. Can I have an amen, somebody? I didn't say not have a savings account, but I can ask you a question. Can you not be troubled if you don't have one? Because you got to understand something. God's going to get his way. God's going to get his time. Oh, yeah, I can't. Lord, I want to tithe this week. I knew I promised I was going to tithe, but I just can't tithe. I just don't have enough. And I don't want to be troubled, because if I give, I'm going to be troubled. And you told me to be not troubled. I'm just being obedient to you, Lord. Have you ever figured out something yet? Don't give it. Don't worry about it. Don't give it. Something's gonna go wrong. And it's gonna cost your tithe. Exact same price. So if you miss several weeks or several months, guess what may be coming? You can pay me now or finish that. Everybody knows that experience. And you blow up, boom. Brand new car and the warranty went out yesterday. See, God keeps up with your warranties. Can I have an amen? And we're blaming all the manufacturers. They knew how long this part was going to last. I can't believe it later. And they did broke. Now that's God. Can 1201 at the first of the year. Yeah. Boom. Can you be troubled with just his word? Because that's something you never run out of.
His word.
It won't change. It's going to be there from now on.
His word.
Better than a warranty.
Come on now.
What was the next thing he said? Look, I'm going to go away. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. There are many mansions. He didn't say I'm going to make you a room. Somebody talk to me. He says, I'm going away to make you get. Gonna be some mini mansions. Because you know who's gonna be on the top of the hill. And there's some of us Christians want to be up there on top of the hill with him. Can't you enjoy your own mansion? I want the gold chair. My little boy. The youngest, when he was about 4, you know that age where he's just learning to talk good and learning to talk back? That age? He was a Sunday school class. And you have to be careful when you got children as a pastor. You never know what's going to come out of their mouths, you know what I'm saying? So the Sunday school teacher was teaching on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they went outside and turned some balloons away, loose, and it was flowing up. And she goes, I can't give you his name. Curtis? This is Curtis. Yes, ma'am. Lisa said, yes, ma'am. Where's Jesus going? She's telling us this after church. Curtis? Yes, ma'am. Where's Jesus going? He's going to lunch. She says, Curtis! Okay. He's going to heaven with God, and he'll be back and have lunch with my dad. Don't that sound good? Listen, look at the next verse. Look what it says. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Talk to me. Was my son theologically right? And that a thought. I know it's tough. I know I shouldn't be troubled. I know I need the word of God. But I know he's coming back for me. And we're going to have lunch.
Yes.
Around the great Bema seat. Did that choke you, bro? Gonna have a meal with daddy. Can that help us? Is that enough to keep you from being in trouble? Feel me? Knowing he hadn't left you, he'll be back. If you're out in the jungle and someone says, you can't travel, so I gotta go get help. You go, don't go. What are you saying? Stay here so both of us die? So you feel bad. You feel better about both of you dying instead of being alone. And Jesus says, I'll be back. And he's going to come in the sky and he's going to call us out of here and we're going to go to heaven and we're going to have the feast of the Lamb. And you know it's got to be good. Because there's going to be no complaining about the cooking. Can I have an amen? Because if it's left up to us, we'll figure a way to complain. Not enough salt, Jesus. A little more pepper. He's going to come back to get us. And I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, you're going to be also. Let's take that. And where I go, you know, and you know the way there. What if you wanted the disciples? Now, early in the night, and it hadn't been yesterday, hadn't been last week, hadn't been a couple of years ago. Just the same night, he said, you don't know where I'm going, and you can't go. And then all of a sudden, he says, you know where I'm going, and you know the way. What's up with, can you imagine the disciples looking at each other?
Has he lost it?
I would ask you, but you probably going to be the one that's going to betray him, so you don't know the answer. Can you imagine being a part of Jesus' posse? It'll blow my mind. One minute it says, you don't know where I'm going. The next minute it says, you know where I'm going. Do we have to get that cleared up? We're going to have to get that cleared up. We're going to get that cleared up when we walk through. John 14. Oh, I don't know. I just look at it and I just shake my head how good this is. Verse 5. Thomas, my boy. What's his nickname? The doubter. Thomas the doubter said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And if we don't know where you're going, how do we know the way? I think that's a good question. Anybody? Anybody doubt that that's not a good question? Then the problem is, you see, if you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get there. And do you understand, if you don't understand the ministry of the other comforter, you don't know where you're going. Because he can't teach you where to go. And thus, you're going to spend the majority of your Christian walk lost. Think we ought to know about this other comforter? I think some of you got my text and my email or whatever. You go, read ahead. Check out 14, 15. Read back 13 to refresh. And find out about this relationship with this new leader that's coming. When we get into verse 6, it's going to shake some folks up. Because Jesus Christ messed up all other religions. Every religion he messed up outside of Christianity. You just got to know my Jesus. Do you hear me? You just got to know my Jesus. And you don't want to do anything to hurt him. And when he says, I am the only way, I don't know how you can discuss that. Either Jesus is wrong and all other religions is right, or all other religions is wrong and Jesus is the only one right. You know, I have people go, well, Pastor, do you believe the Jews are going to go to hell? Yeah. Do you believe all Muslims, good Muslims, they're going to go to hell? Do you believe that Buddhists living a life and been taught that all their lives, they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell? Yeah. You know what? I know some good Baptists going to hell. Because they don't know Jesus personally. They're trying to get there without him. I can't tell you. Pastor can't tell you if you don't know my Jesus. And if you don't want to be obedient to him, what's wrong with you? There's something wrong with you. You can't get there without him. He is the only way. Somebody help me understand the love of my God and my Savior. Oh, he's so good. He's so good to me. He lets me suffer for him. Oh my love. Oh, people, if you just knew him, Do you understand what I'm saying? If you just knew him, and he's going to come back for us. He's not going to leave us alone. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be troubled. I can't say anything else. I can't beg you. It's up to you. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Antioch Bible Church. For more information about Antioch Bible Church or to order additional resources, please call 425-556-5905 or go to www.abchurch.org.